You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Judd's Hockey Show listeners, this is the Hockey Whisperer himself, Phil Mackey. And I want to talk real quick about Federated Mutual Insurance Company, here to help take your business to another level through risk management. They are basically like a checking line to protect your top line players from risks and things on the horizon. Federatedinsurance.com if you want to find out more information, and if you want to find out more information about the great people that have been around for a long time helping businesses. Federated Insurance, where it's our business to protect yours.
Hockey. Yeah. Yeah. My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Again, what we like is that he's been a great teammate through it all, and he's done a lot of things defensively, verbally, on the bench, penalty kill, just in all areas of the game. And yes, it's one thing that to be on a heater or whatever, you're individually scoring goals, but you still have to do a lot of things to allow your team to have success, and he's doing a lot of those as well.
Welcome in Judd's Hockey Show. That of course was Wild Coach Dean Evason talking about none other than Declan Goff's favorite player in the whole wide world, a man he has a man crush on beyond belief, Kevin Fiala, as the Wild beats the Canucks last night. It's Zolgad, Declan Goff, and also joined by Ryan Brandel, Barstool Chief, the co-host of Redline Radio for Barstool Chicago. And Chief, welcome in. And I want you to start off by saying you're on because you guys came up with what I think is a great idea, and most importantly, a great-looking shirt of Ryan Hartman, let's say this, to put this as nicely as possible, saluting Evander Kane to say you are number one. Tell us about the shirt, about how it came up, how people can get it, and as importantly, where the proceeds are going to go.
Yeah, so, you know, Chicago still has a tie to Ryan Hartman. You know, he's from here, local kid. I know him a little bit, played here. Love Hartsey, right? So great moment. Perfect guy to get that gesture, and it obviously was a viral moment. And then we saw what he did with the donations, and we're like, you know, we can get involved with that too. You know, Barstool has a big platform. We have Spit and Chicklets in-house, is the biggest hockey podcast there is. Awesome. So took a cartoon image of that, texted it to Hartman to make sure he was cool with it. He liked the idea. Then, you know, said, obviously, we're going to donate whatever, you know, net proceeds we have to Children's Minnesota. And that's, the response has been incredible. So shout out to the people of the great state of Minnesota. I think they're going to get a nice check. I think we're five figures now. So I don't know what it'll end up being, but it'll be a nice donation for them.
Awesome. And if people want to still get one, how can they do so? How can they go about getting a shirt?
Yeah, I've been tweeting it out. So it's Barstool Chief on Twitter and Instagram, but it's the Barstool Sports store. So store.barstoolsports.com. It should be on the first page there. But yeah, it's still for sale. We're going to keep it going. I don't know how long it's going to be relevant. We're going to keep it going for a while here and see how much we can raise. And it's, like I said, I think we're right at about 1,000 shirts, you know, first 24 hours. So that's very good response, and gotta love those Minnesota nice people.
Yeah. By the way, listeners, it's right in the YouTube comments too. So if you want to just click the link right there, you can get the shirt as well. Chief, you said you knew Ryan Hartman. Yeah, you spent some years in Chicago. He's obviously a Chicago boy. Is there anything off the mic or anything you have had a fun interaction with Ryan Hartman? I'm curious if there's anything that's safe for podcasting or safe for video you can tell about Hartsy.
I think the stuff that's off camera is not as inflammatory as the stuff he's done on the ice. Or he told the guy in Colorado he's going to kill him in the penalty box a couple of years ago in the playoffs. And then you know, the finger to Evander. So he's a really nice, like, kind of quiet, mild-mannered guy. Then he flips a switch and turns into a crazy person on the ice. And I love that about him. I love it. So be pulling for Hartman in the playoffs. And, you know, I'm a Blackhawks fan, so I'd love you guys to make the conference finals, turn that second round pick into a first or flirt. So,
amen. Yeah, guess what? So would Garen and fans here, man. Like that is the ultimate win-win. You get the first round pick.
Yep.
And that deal, that shocked me, because the parameters of that trade to me were fantastic. A first round pick, but I believe that's attached to if Flower wins four games in the first two rounds,
correct,
and they advance. Bill Guerin, Chief, will walk that draft pick to your house and drop it off on your doorstep if the Wild makes the run that is attached to the Blackhawks actually securing that pick.
Yeah, so I mean, I am a loser on the outside of the playoffs for, like, I don't know, it feels like the seventh year in a row now for the Blackhawks. But I'll be, my brother has a job with the Florida Panthers, so I'm rooting for them in the East. Nice. And then, you know, I obviously like Hartman a lot and would like that first round pick, so I'm rooting for the Wild in the West. And that's going to be my rooting interest as we go through here this spring.
Are you surprised, too, Chief, that, like, Hartman was obviously a first-round pick in Chicago, you know, kind of turned his game into a grinder and a nice little checking player, but now, like, he's exploded as this number one center in Minnesota, like, you know, and playing with Kirill and Zuccarello certainly helps, but are you surprised to see this dude go from, hey, maybe he was a flaming out as a first-round pick and turning into a role player to now being the player that people probably project him to be when he was coming into the NHL?
No, I mean, no, I'm not surprised. This is the player I always thought he was. His rookie year, he was awesome. He had 19 goals, and that was a team that, you know, had a really good regular season for the Blackhawks. And then the wheels kind of fell off the organization, like, right after that. But and he had a shoulder injury. I know he had a wrist injury. Like, he had some little nagging things that he didn't necessarily, that he was kind of playing through that was hindering his game. And once he kind of, you know, matured as a player, but also was actually healthy, he's blossomed into what we've seen in Minnesota the last couple of years, and finding the right type of organization for him, an organization that believed in him, gave him a long-term deal. I think that really helped his confidence too. And he's become kind of a leader in that room. So I'm not like to this level, maybe a little bit, but I always thought he was, you know, going to be a very good middle six type guy. And a type of guy that every playoff team with major aspirations needs, because he can score, he can hit, he's mean, he's tough, he'll block shots, he does everything, great teammate, so, and a great guy. So, like that's what you need. I'm not surprised at all that he's, you know, turned into what you guys have.
So, as a sports fan here, we usually disappoint, sometimes suck, but we disappoint. Like the Wolves meltdown last night would be unfathomable in some towns. Like, that would be like, oh my God, this, you know, something like this will not take place in our town for 20 more years. Here, it's just like Wednesday night. Oh, we melted. I mean, it's just embarrassing. So here's my question. As a hockey fan, the Blackhawks now, to your point, have been down for quite some time. It turned into a off-the-ice gong show, too, which is extremely unfortunate because it's a great franchise. But my question to you is this. You have rings now. Like, they won cups. They went on a stretch of great hockey. Is it worth the trade-off? Because I've always said I would take the championship, or in your case, championships, if it meant that you were going to be bad. Like, we're always afraid of being bad, so we're trying to, you know, be okay. We're okay, but you never win titles being okay. Now, in retrospect, going through what you've seen from your team for an extended period of time, is it worth it? Because you did have the championship parades with that great silver chalice being, you know, Taze able to hold that sucker up.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a complicated question, just because, look, every organization other than maybe the Patriots goes through like these peaks and valleys, and the Blackhawks certainly had an incredible peak. But the part that really stings is that it felt like they haven't won a playoff series since that Stanley Cup in 2015. They signed Taves and Kane to 8-year deals. They will not have won a playoff series for the entirety of those deals. So I am still angry at Stan Bowman. I cannot let it go that, you know, if they cratered at a more appropriate time, like now, if it was ending now, but there's no reason why they should have been this bad for this long with that core, but it was self-inflicted wounds. It was, you know, the organization got bloated, too fat, complacent. Everybody wanted credit. They had a lot of issues. And then obviously all the off the ice stuff, like, it's just like, oh my God, like, you're not, laughingstock doesn't even begin to say it. So it's like, this is an embarrassment. And so, yeah, like, we're, you can't, you know, what do they say, flags fly forever or whatever that expression
right.
is. And it, those are some of the happiest moments. You know, I was at, got to go to a lot of those games with my dad. And, you know, I'm very friendly, you know, good friend of mine, Scott Darling, was on the team in 15. So I got to do like all the cup parade and, you know, spray the champagne out of bars and like be with the guys on the party bus, all that. It was awesome. Can't take that away. It's burned in my mind forever. I'm still angry at Stan Bowman. Summer of 15, summer of 17. A myriad, including the pick they got back from Hartman originally. You know, when they traded him to Nashville, wasted that one. They've been on the wrong end of, I don't know, a dozen trades in the last 5, 6, 7 years. And it hurts that it ended prematurely because you know it's going to end. And we were at the bottom of the barrel franchise before this, that run. Yep. And it's like, we're right back there. And it's like, wait a second. We were like, it was like a mirage. And now we're right back to being a joke. And I really, it's worth it, but it still stings that it ended prematurely.
Last one for me, Chief. You know, I made the mistake, Judd and I did, when we were doing preseason projections back in September, like, hey, who's going to make the playoffs and whatnot? I don't know why. I was sipping the Blackhawks Kool-Aid. I was like, you know what? I think they're going to sneak in as one of these last wildcard teams. Hockey is already kind of a weird sport. Teams can pop back up. And then obviously the wheels came off the bus, but like, DeBrink, it's a stud for you guys. Like, obviously, like, he's a stud.
I don't know that they ever put the wheels on the bus.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I took the apple and ran with it, right? But, like, I was looking at it and, like, all right, DeBrink, it's obviously a stud, and he had another great season this year. You know, I know Kirby Dach still hasn't figured it out, but, like, a third overall pick. Even though Seth Jones, like, came crashing down to earth, and that might be just an albatross for a little while, I thought Chicago was going to pop back up this year. How far away do you think they are, though, of returning to the playoffs and getting back to the contention of being one of the better teams in the West?
Yeah, so I was with you, and people like to, you know, twist my words on Twitter, but I'm like, yeah, I think, you know, people are like, I thought you said the Blackhawks would be good. I'm like, no, I thought they would be average. I thought they would be at, like, perfectly, like, the 15th or 16th best team in the league, like, right smack in that meaty part of the curve. I don't think the wheels have fallen off Seth Jones. He's still a very good player. He's a number one D. He's not Hedman, but he's probably a top 15 defenseman in the NHL. I think some of those, there's these analytic charts that don't pull favorably. He does one thing that he doesn't play well at his own blue line in transition. That's it. Like, that's really the only, like, deficiency in his game. But he's a very good player. But yeah, like, you would assume some development from Dach. I thought they would be a wild card or right there too. But there was always that boogeyman of Jeremy Colliton, who was completely incompetent as a coach. And it was like, well, if everything goes right, meaning you get development out of Dach, Reichel turns into something, Jones, I really like the Jake McCabe signing in the offseason too. And it's like, this could, you know, like, this could be a team that could find their way back into the playoffs. And you get Taves back and the whole thing. And it's like, well, and I would say within 7 days of the season starting, 3-4 games, you knew it was going to be. And then all the scandal stuff came out, and then they fired Jeremy, and it's, you know, it was over before it started.
Blues Wild first round. Who do you got?
I really like the Wild. I really do. I've been kind of banging that drum all year. I think they got everything you need. You got a good mix of, you know, veterans like Zuccarello, young guys with Kirill and Boldy. They got the goaltending. They got very, very good defense, mobile defense. They're tough. The Blues, like, it's almost going to be like looking in the mirror for those two teams a little bit. And I think it's going to be a great series. But ultimately, I think, you know, I do think it'll be Fleury. I know Talbot's had a great year, but I don't know how you don't hand the keys to that guy if Talbot gets a little shaky, because you just know what Fleury's ceiling is. And I think that'll be the difference. I think Fleury puts him over the top.
Ryan O'Reilly scares me. That's the one thing that scares me. He's so damn good. And there's no answer.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's no answer. There's no guy where you're like, Minnesota's got this guy, and that guy is wired. I mean, I love guys like Taze in his prime who are playoff studs. And you know what? They love this. They love the fact that the playoffs are months of being a pain in their ass, and they cut through all the BS. And
I can't wait.
Oh, God, it's great.
It's going to be great. Well, yeah, like Ryan O'Reilly doesn't get lumped into that Bergeron, Taves category because he only has, you know, he's bounced around a lot. He had some low moments in his career. He's an awesome player, and you're right. Like, he's built for the playoffs. Reminds me a little bit of like Ryan Kessler back with the Canucks and
yes.
A little bit like that yes. kind of player. Like, he's big, that. He's mean, he's awesome. Yeah, I would love to have a guy like that. I hate him. I hate the Blues more
than anything. But that's what makes it great.
Oh yeah, I love hating people.
So I grew up a North Stars fan, and I freaking hated your Blackhawks. Al Secord, Larmer, yep. Savard. I hated those. Murray freaking Bannerman when I was a kid broke my heart. North Stars were coming off a Stanley Cup Finals run, and yep. your Blackhawks beat them in the first round because Bannerman stood on his bleeping head. Yep. Man, did I hate your team.
Yeah, I always hear those stories from my dad because it was like, yeah, it was like a war between Minnesota and the Blackhawks, and then it was like whoever won that was just going to get dusted by the Oilers. And that was kind of
true. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yep. Barstool Chief, great stuff. Appreciate it. Great cause. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again at some point.
Yeah, soon. Man.
I just want to thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course,
I appreciate
Steve.
That.
Thanks,
thank
Chief.
You. All right, take care.
We'll see you guys.
Bye-bye. Barstool Chief, and again, I got to get a shirt too, Dex.
Oh, yeah, we got to get one.
By the way, I think we both have to get those shirts because they are great. Where Ryan Hartman saluting Evander Kane. All right, let's talk briefly about what is transpiring now. Wild wins again. Last night, full disclosure, I was at the Wolves game, and mm-hmm. so I've seen highlights. I did see. Did you see the one that was circulating Dude. Around Twitter of Boldy making the pass to Fiala and Goudreau? Are these guys the freaking Harlem Globetrotters now?
I'm telling you, this is why I'm not. Unbelievable. This is why I'm not concerned about these two dudes not showing up in the playoffs. These two dudes, as in Fiala, Boldy, Goudreau, that line. They're on fire right now. And look, there's still, a week, 10 days or so before the playoffs here start. So that's still a long time. And I'm sure even as now that Blues Wild are cemented, but we're still fighting for home ice, there could be a situation, too, where star players get rested on game 82. We'll see what happens as the chips fall a little bit. But I truly think that line's still going to be able to score. Because if the opposing team's task is to shut down Kirill and Mats and Hartman, okay, that's a fine plan. Fiala and Boldy are still going to be able to beat you.
On Goudreau, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels like Hartman plays his role on the Zuccarello-Kaprizov line really, really well. But, I mean, it's his role. Like, he's not a sexy player.
Right.
He's never going to be, and that's fine. And you know, Mats and Kirill go back and forth and back and forth. And Hartman contributes and certainly collects some goals. So this is no criticism of Ryan Hartman. But here's my question. It feels like, and I didn't see this coming, so to be very clear, I'm not patting myself on the back one bit. It feels like Freddie Goudreau, more and more, has real legit talent at times. Like, he is, I don't feel like he's playing as much of a role as Hartman is. I feel like he's contributing at times and making plays. And, I mean, this was a guy who I summarily, I think when the year started, dismissed as a Dean Bobo.
Both of us did, yeah.
But am I right? But am I right in saying, I'm not trying to say he's a star, okay? So hear me clearly. But am I right in saying that it feels like his skills, at least right now, are far superior to what we expected?
Yeah, definitely. Look, he's not a flashy player. He just isn't. Like, he's a fine, and I think hockey purists might agree here, and a lot of scouts, and I would honestly love Garen's opinion on this too. He can skate. The dude can skate. So at the end of the day, can he keep up? Like, does he have the skill? Does he have the hands? Does he have the finishing ability? Not really. Like, he's it's not an albatross, but he doesn't have that next level, that Fiala, that Boldy, that Kirill, that Mats, that even Hartman has now kind of developed, right? Like, he doesn't have that skill. Can he skate? Can he keep up? Can he not make a mistake? And that's basically what he's in the middle there, and it's not to diminish what he's been able to do this season, because yes, you can make another case that he might be the best value in the NHL. I mean, he's just making $1.2 million on a one-year deal. I would assume he's going to get brought back for probably another team-friendly deal, but he doesn't do anything, even like analytically. Like, there's nothing he does that's eye-opening. He's just a completely solid, average player across the board, and he can skate. And those skating things can be picked up. beyond analytics.
I think you nailed it. I think the fact that he can skate and has skills in that area make a difference. What did you make of Cam Talbot becoming the first goalie on this team in a long time, basically since the Fleury trade, to start back-to-back games?
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, he's earned it, right? He's definitely earned the right. I don't know, maybe, and my reckless speculation tells me too, when I saw that news yesterday, like, are they just trying to keep Fleury a little fresh, right? Like, they don't want to risk running something out there. And I do find it weird, though, Judd. Flower has, to my knowledge here, has not started against the Blues yet. Like, they've played the Blues, I think, twice.
Three times.
They've played them three times since Fleury's been acquired, right? Oh, yeah. No.
Twice since then. But, yeah.
But in both starts.
Cam Talbot started every game.
Are they doing that to not? Now, granted, Marc-Andre Fleury is 37 years old. Everyone in the Blues being.
Against him with the Blackhawks, I bet.
Yep. So, everyone knows who he is. But my grand point is, I wonder if they're just saving that card. Like that, I wonder if they're just saving that card to not show their hands there.
Yeah, I couldn't. I know the Cam got the shutout against Montreal a couple nights back, and so I guess I shouldn't be surprised. But it seemed odd to me that he got the start back to back. And I'm trying to deduct: does that mean something, or does it mean nothing? And he just got the start back to back because he did play well in a game. Again, in the second period of that game in Montreal, they were absolutely terrible. So I am not sure. Last thing, and I don't want to discuss it yet, but put it in the notes. We need to do an entire show at some point soon on this. What is Kevin Fiala's worth now? Because I think this whole thing about, well, yeah, just get rid of Dumba, which, by the way, I said again, I'm incriminating myself. I think that's out the window. I mean, this guy, this is incredible. Like, he is, and if this translates, Dex, to the playoffs, watch out. Like, he's, like, this is no longer, well, he might just take, I mean, this is, what he's doing now is bordering on superstar.
Yeah, no, it
is. He's a star, in my opinion. But it's bordering now, like, he's still not Kirill by any means, but it feels like he's getting a hell of a lot closer than I gave him credit for being 2 or 3 weeks ago.
When he is on, he's damn good, dude. And you're seeing he's been on for basically the last 6 weeks. But this is the problem that the Wild put themselves in. They literally said, we're not going to negotiate a long-term contract, or they weren't willing to play ball. And now he could potentially max out. Like, and if I'm Fiala, good for him.
And he should. But like, we're past the point of, well, they got to do whatever they can. Folks, it might not be possible.
That's a good point.
Like saying, well, just get rid of Dumba and Kulikov and you'll have the money. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Okay, we're done. Thanks to Barstool Chief. Great stuff. Buy a shirt, support the cause. And you know what? Who doesn't want a shirt with a guy flipping a guy off, right?
Oh, I can't do it.
I'm sorry, Dex. Where can people find that right
below? It's in the description, in the YouTube comment section.
Great.
And if you're an audio person on the podcast, just go to our YouTube channel. It's in there. You'll see it.
Awesome stuff. And the Wild won again. So why don't we hear from Billy Guerin?
Listen, you guys know what this is all about, right? Right? What's it all about? Spurgy?
Hard work and having fun.
That. This is about winning.